The subject is no weapon formed shall prosper. I thought somebody would shout the amen louder. I thought somebody would be more excited than that. Say it after me louder. Say, no weapon formed against my life shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against my life shall prosper. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14 to verse 17. It says, in righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shall be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the...
Our God is good.
Everything are triple.
Everything
are triple.
Everything
are quadruple.
Everything are quadruple.
Everything are triple.
Everything are triple.
Everything are triple.
Everything are triple.
Hallelujah. Please give the Lord a shout of praise as you take your seat. I need to confirm from the sound that I can proceed, or I should hold on so that I don't proceed and I am interrupted in the middle. Somebody say amen. Don't worry, you will soon know the reason why the sound is trying to misbehave. Hallelujah! So let's begin from the beginning so that you can understand. I'm sure you want to understand. No weapon formed shall prosper. So we started reading. He said, in righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for your sake. He said, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No
weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Somebody give a shout of victory. No weapon formed shall prosper. Our objective is to understand God's preservation provision for his people. God's preservation provision for his people. And then number two, to understand conditions for divine preservation. God's preservation provision, and then understanding conditions for divine provision. I want to start by saying, one of the greatest assets of the spiritual man or woman is called revelation. Light, insight. One of the greatest assets of the spiritual man or woman. It's not necessarily the frequency of church attendance. It's not necessarily the duration of being in church. Not necessarily knowing the pastor. It is the asset called revelation. Why? One, revelation brings elevation. Matthew chapter 16 verse 16. When Peter got to know who Jesus Christ is, when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter. I shift you from Simon, I upgrade you to Peter. Simon was grass, Peter was rock. Revelation brings elevation, it changes status. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 2, Paul the apostle speaking said, and I went up by revelation. In Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, scripture said, arise, shine, for thy light is come. When light comes, people rise. Revelation brings elevation. Number two, revelation brings distinction. It causes you to stand out. What makes you to stand apart from your age mates is what you know that they don't know. Revelation brings distinction. Of course, Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, we saw where he said, arise, shine, your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We saw how Paul stood apart from his contemporaries because of the things he knew that they did not know. Number three, revelation brings transformation. Revelation brings transformation. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 18, he said, we all beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord we are changed. There are things you know that changes your behavior on the spot. Am I communicating? There are things you know that changes your character on the spot. It changes your mindset on the spot. It changes the way you look at things on the spot. Revelation brings transformation. All of a sudden, people begin to look at you and they are wondering what changed. And it is just that you saw something. You saw something. And character changed. Mindset changed. You saw something and everything changed. And that is going to happen to somebody here tonight. You are that one, you shout the loudest, amen. Number four, revelation brings direction. Revelation brings direction in Psalm 109 verse 105. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives me direction. Your word gives me direction. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Revelation brings direction. That is to say, there are things God will show you out of the scripture that will show you the steps to take. It will show you the moves to make. It will show you actions to proceed upon. Revelation brings direction. There are things you know to do, kinds of businesses you can enter, and the kind of business you cannot enter because of something you saw out of scripture. So, revelation is an asset of the spiritual man, because revelation brings elevation and distinction and transformation and direction. And for the sake of our study today, number 5, revelation brings preservation. It brings preservation. Psalm 91 verse 1 said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So secrets bring shade. Shadow is the product of the shade. The secrets you can access determines the shade you can experience. The secrets you have access to determines the safety you can experience. The possession of light is the aversion of destruction. Light, nothing prevents destruction. For example, somebody is driving. I remember when I was a young medical doctor in the hospital, teaching hospital accident and emergency, what we call the casualty. And the young man was brought in on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. A young man was brought in on Christmas Day. He was driving a motorcycle that had no headlight, drunk in the night, and ran into an oncoming Mercedes car, died on the spot. He had no light. He was drunk, riding in the night. But light can avert destruction. So tonight, we are going to see the light in Isaiah chapter 54. We quote it all the time. But there is light in it beyond what we know and some of the things we have said before that will guarantee preservation. And I am going to talk to you what God is saying to you from the scripture. Am I communicating? Anybody ready for that? I'm going to bring out 7 lights out of that passage. According to what scripture is saying. Let's look at it again. Isaiah chapter 54. Now verse 15. He said, behold, they shall surely gather together, witches, wizards, bad people. People who are not too bad, but don't wish you well. Occultists. Envious people. Jealous people. They shall surely gather together. But their gathering is not what is important. What is important is that it is not by me. What is the implication? 1. The only conspiracy or gathering that can succeed against you is the one originated by God. The only conspiracy or gathering of men or demons that can succeed against you is the one that was, or the one that originated from God. He said, you can only be afraid that people ganged up if I was the one who organized the gang up. He said, the only reason why it doesn't mean anything is that they have gathered, but not by me. This doesn't mean anything to somebody. This should make somebody to scream and jump and celebrate. He said, for as long as a conspiracy or a gang up is not of me, from me, or by me, it can never succeed against you. For as long as a conspiracy is not from me, by me, or through me, it is nothing to worry about. There is nothing to be afraid of. As long as a conspiracy is not from me, is not by me, is not through me, it has no future against your life and against your destiny. Somebody shout power. Look at your neighbor, say to them, the major problem is, or the major issue is, not the gathering. The issue is, who gathered them? Hey! Who gathered them? Even if it was Lucifer himself, it's nothing to worry about. If it is the head of the witches or the wizards, or the head of the occultists or the cultists, or the head of any demonic setup, if they are the ones that gathered themselves, it is nothing to worry about. It is if I did the gathering that you have to worry. So anytime somebody comes to you next time to say, do you know there is a gang up in the office against your life? The question to ask is, who gathered them? They say there is a gang up in the village against you. Or there are some people somewhere talking against your life and your destiny. What is the question to ask? So that makes you to be walking with springs under your feet. Be functioning as if the devil does not exist. Is God speaking to somebody here? Will you help me stand up on your feet? Walk to seven people. Tell them who gathered them. Who gathered them? Who gathered them? Talk to five other people. Tell them who gathered them. Who gathered them? Hey! Take your seat. You know, I told you that revelation brings preservation. Revelation brings elevation. What you just heard now is capable of making you to exist as if the devil does not exist. It's capable of making you to hear the rumor of satanic gang up, and it means nothing to you because your father said to you, if I did not gather them, don't fear them.
If I didn't gather them, don't share them. If I am not behind the gathering, don't be afraid of the gathering.
Take your seat. Behold, they shall surely gather, but not by me. That is the first light in this scripture for today. Tomorrow there will be more light. Then he said, whosoever shall gather against you shall fall for your sake.
Number two, their rise against you is their crash in life. Whatever made them to rise is the signature for crashing. They will follow your head to die if they will not let you rest. Like Pharaoh followed the children of Israel until he died in the Red Sea. As many as rise up against you, they shall fall for your sake. There is an easy way to know who is about to crash. It is the one that rises. When a dog is about to die, he doesn't hear the whistle of the hunter. Even the owner's whistle does not impress it. When a goat is about to die, it looks for food on the highway.
Don't forget what God is saying to you tonight. As many as rise against you, said, for your sake they shall. Any witch that says you should not leave, they are about to die.
Every agent of wickedness and darkness that will not allow you and your family allow your destinies to rest, they are about to be laid to rest.
Take your seat.
That is what the passage is saying. That the rise of the wicked against the righteous is their fall.
When the wicked is doomed to crash, he looks for the trouble of the righteous. When it is their time to crash, when it is their time to be deleted from the land of the living, they look for the trouble of the righteous.
Many, many years ago, as a young man in the university, when a beating and one girl rose up one day and said, who do you think you are? Are you the only one that think that God can speak to you? Are you the only one that thinks you can preach? When a meeting, I didn't say anything. I looked at her, said nothing. It took only 5 weeks. I remember her face, her name, detail, as I can't remember anything. Vomited, malaria, 5 weeks only, was gone. I didn't pray. You say somebody pray. I didn't pray. If a madman jams his hand on electric cable, does he need prayer to be electrocuted? Somebody say amen. Within 7 days, somebody seated here, what you are hearing shall be verified around your life.
within your family cycle the notorious witches and wizards and principalities that will let people rest will be laid to rest.
Take your seat. Look at the next verse, and then we'll go to number 3. Isn't this very sweet? The only conspiracy against you that can succeed is the one that I organized. And their rise against you is their Christ. Now, look at this. He's talking about your preserver. He'll say, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. I'm the one who manufactured the person who prepares the weapon. Ding gun is prepared by blacksmith. And arrows and knives and swords and spears. He said the manufacturer of weapons, I manufactured him. It was after that he said no weapon manufactured by them. The manufacturer of the weapons, I manufactured him. Including the spiritual entity called the waster to destroy. I created him. No weapon that is formed. What is number 3 saying? Number 3, God is saying, I did not create or license the manufacturers of weapons to manufacture anyone against you. Hey! That was not the reason why I created a blacksmith. He can manufacture knife for yam. I wish that this thing can enter into somebody's head today. I did not create the bullet producer to produce bullet to kill you. I did not create or license the manufacturers of weapons to manufacture anyone against you. Since I am the one who created the one who manufactures weapons. I am the one who created the one who manufactures instruments of all kinds. The summary of point number 3 is the one who can manufacture a weapon to waste you was not created. The one, sister, keep on screaming while the others are watching. The one who can manufacture the charm, that can manufacture the talisman, that can manufacture the jars, that can manufacture the weapons, that can waste you was not created. I did not budget that one in my creation. If I were you, I would pray in the spirit for 2 minutes. Leketi shabalagash, lekite lepereti kasadash, lashta kelame teke ferenista kalabaradaya, lekesite leperenegedila mamayada shalalabarada. Hey! Take your seat. Our children in the Destiny Christian Academy, you can be on until the message is over, so you can go for your dinner. Because last week they said they had to be moved in the middle of the message. I couldn't hear the finish the message. Did you hear what God said? Balawo that can produce the charm that can kill you before time. God said, I didn't create him.
He has not been born. Mother didn't born him. He does not exist. So when you have light like that, you move with springs under your feet. They say that man has killed 100 people with charm. You tell them, I am the one to kill him. I am the one to kill him. If he likes death, he's about to be buried. Somebody shout power. Somebody shout power. Somebody shout power. Take your seat. I created the waster to destroy, but not for your destruction. For the destruction of those who rise against God. For the destruction of those who question who God is. Then he goes to point number 4. The one we normally quote. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the summary of it. Number 4. No weapon that can destroy you will ever be constructed. No weapon, no equipment, no tool that can finish or level you will ever be formed. And the one that has been formed, targeted at you, is useless, powerless, and harmless. The one that is already formed, manufactured, constructed, that is targeted to you, is practically useless, powerless, and harmless against your life and against your destiny. Somebody shout power. You mistakenly drank concentrated hydrochloric acid, and it was water in your system, water in your mouth, and it transferred as poison into the mouth of the person who gave it to you to drink. The one that is formed and targeted at you is practically useless, powerless, harmless. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I thank you, because your preservation power is real. Ooh. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Are you ready for the next? Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, condemn. Number 5 said, every voice of accusation or confrontation raised against you is doomed for condemnation. Every voice of accusation or confrontation. Judgment comes from accusation. This is the accused. Then judge him. Every voice of accusation or confrontation raised against you is doomed for condemnation. And you are the one to do it. Say, thou shalt condemn. This is what I said in summary. The voices of accusation and confrontation can never be stronger than your voice in condemnation and nullification. The voices of accusation or confrontation targeted against your life can never be stronger than your own voice in condemnation and nullification of the same voice. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your voice, say in the name of Jesus, every voice of condemnation, of accusation, of litigation targeted against me, I silence you by the voice of the blood of Jesus. I cancel you. I condemn you. I silence you now. And number six, it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Number six said, it is the inheritance of my servants to be shielded and protected from the conspiracies, weapons, and tongue of the wicked. Say that again. It is the inheritance of my servants. God is speaking to us. To be shielded and protected from the conspiracies, weapons, and tongue of the wicked. When we say servants, we are not just talking man of God or woman of God. We are talking about anybody who serves the Lord. He's a servant of the Lord. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. The summary is, it is part of your service benefit. Anybody get anything here at all? It is part of your service benefit not to be left at the mercy of the wicked. It is part of your service benefit for me to rise in your defense against conspiracies and weapons and tongues. It is part of your service benefit. As you serve me wholeheartedly, God says, and dedicatedly, you are never at the mercy of conspiracies. You are never at the mercy of the weapons of the wicked. You are never at the mercy of the slander of the enemy. Somebody shout power. Listen. We know that when we serve the Lord, he bless our bread, blesses our bread and water. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. We also know that he who waits on his master shall be honored. We know all that about service. Let us shout for joy that Let them shout for joy that fill my righteous cause. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified that has pleasure in the prosperity of his house. So we know all these things about serving God. But this one, many of us didn't know. He said, it is the inheritance of my servants for me to fight for them, to stand for them, to uselessize and mesmerize and pauperize the weapons targeted against their life. It is their inheritance for me to silence their adversaries. It is part of their inheritance service package for serving me. No devil and their agent to be able to rejoice over your life. Isn't it a very good service benefit? Lift your right hand and say, Father, thank you for this service benefit. In the name of Jesus. Say a loud amen. And finally, very interesting. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Is of me. It's of me. Their righteousness is of me. I allocate them my righteousness to defend them. This is what it says. Number seven.
It is not your righteousness I use to speak for you. In the face of enemy confrontations, it is my own righteousness that the enemy can't stand that I use. Their righteousness is of me. That was the song the choir sang. By your grace and mercy, I was justified. By your grace and mercy, I was sanctified. It was not because I was so qualified. It was not because I was so deserving. Lord, I do not place my faith in my own right. Lord, I place my faith in your mercy alone. For your mercy is my helpline in the earth and my lifeline. Do you know the meaning of that? Choir, how did you know that I was going to preach on this subject? Listen. He said, in case the devil will say, pastor say everybody should evangelize, he refused. He deserved to be attacked. In case the devil will say his prayer life is down, he is not zealous anymore, let's organize and finish him, he said, I will stand and say, Satan, give chance. I defend him with my righteousness. Hey! I defend him with, all right, I loan him my righteousness. I loan him for this moment. Now, fight me, let me see. And you are just sitting just like that. All right, sit down if you have to write. Hey! Their righteousness is of me. Satan, I am the one to determine their stand, not you. How many of you remember the story of Moses? God spoke to Moses. Not, he said he should speak to the rock. Moses struck the rock. And the water gushed out. God was so angry. Because of what you have done, Moses, you cannot enter the promised land. And get ready, you will die. One, you disobeyed my voice. Two, you refused to honor me in the face of the people. Three, you took the glory. Must we bring you water from this rock? Moses, you and who? So Moses died. And it was about time. As if he was about to be resurrected, to be taken to heaven, or to be taken to the Mount of Transfiguration. It was as a junction. And Satan stood and resisted. Jude verse 9. Place it on the screen. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses.
Satan was in contention for the ownership of Moses. It looks to me like he was trying to quote law. I am the father of all the sons of disobedience, Satan seemed to be saying. And this man disobeyed. Where is he going to go? How can he go to heaven? Lord, if Moses was not qualified to enter promised land on the earth, what makes him qualified now to enter heaven? Michael the archangel seemed to be confused. What do I do now? Looks like the devil has a point. He's struggling. He's struggling. Contention. Then the Lord seemed to have whispered to the angel, present my righteousness. And Michael said, the Lord, not Moses, the Lord rebuke you. Satan, the fight is not between Moses and you now. It is between the Lord and you. And Satan gave chance. Moses was carried. Mind you, I didn't say Moses stole. I didn't say Moses lied. I didn't say Moses cheated. I didn't say Moses ran with somebody's wife. What happened was so minimal that could have been excused, but Satan held on to it. And God said, Moses' righteousness is of me. Satan, I fight you now. And the space was clear. This is what God is saying. He said, when the jungle mature and go, no go, my righteousness will be proved. Stand up on your feet everywhere you are. I know the sincerity of Moses' heart. He was my servant from the scratch. He was more meek than anybody. They provoked him. They annoyed him. He did the wrong thing, but they annoyed him. It was a provocation. Satan, you cannot hold him now. The Lord rebuke you. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is, you know, the official title of Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 11 and 12. He said, and I had a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. He said, in front of these aimless accusations, your righteousness is from me. I bear witness with your motive, that your motive was right. You may have put forth a wrong action under any circumstance, but I am not in doubt of your sincerity. I surrender for you my righteousness. Stop there, Satan. Shut up.
Lord, I do not place my faith in my own wrath. Lord, I place my faith in your mercy alone. For your mercy is my helpline in the earth. On my lifeline throughout all eternity. Lord, I do not place my faith in my own right. Lord, I place my faith in your mercy alone. For your mercy is my helpline in the air. On my helpline throughout all eternity. Lord, I do not place my faith in my own life. Lord, I place my faith in your mercy alone. Oh, your mercy is my helpline in the air. Lord, I do not place my faith in my own world. Lord, I place my faith in your mercy alone.
Say, I use my righteousness to shield and defend you before the conspiracies, the confrontations of the enemy against your life. He said his forefather was an idol worshiper, and the four forefathers agreed that this and that. And the Lord said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. I spread my righteousness for him. And the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. If you can find something in me, Satan, deal with him.
Lord, I do not place my faith in my own wrath. Lord, I place my faith in your mercy alone. For your mercy is my lifeline in the earth. And my lifeline throughout all eternity. Lift your hands, everybody. Shatala mana 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 mana. Lift your voice and begin to thank him for his blood. Thank him for his for the sacrifice on Calvary. Thank him for his righteousness. Thank him for his righteousness. His righteousness on our behalf. His righteousness on our behalf. His righteousness on our behalf. Lift your voice and thank him.
And my life line throughout all eternity.
while we maintain that mood. If I am meant to experience this preservation that is so exciting and interesting, what do I do? Number one, be established in righteousness. In righteousness shall thou be established. So that doesn't give you room to live anyhow and expect his righteousness to cover you. No room. Isaiah 54, 14. Be established. Be established in uprightness. The way Job was. Hate evil. Be in the path of right. Follow the way that is good. According to 1 Peter 3:13, you know, and who is he that can harm you? If you are followers of that which is good, righteousness shall thou be rooted in righteousness. Let nobody be in doubt of your stand. Stand in righteousness. Number two, refuse to fear. Thou shalt not fear. Refuse fear in any form, in any guise that fear comes. Resist it. Do everything you can to give no place to the devil through fear. Job chapter 3, verse 25. Most of the news and the things you are going to hear are things that would like to put your life under pressure. Refuse to fear. Number three, condemn the voices of confrontation. Condemn. And every voice that rises against you in judgment, not the pastor will condemn, not your prayer partner will condemn, thou shalt condemn. I just gave you an example just now. Every voice of litigation, every voice of confrontation, every voice of enmity and hostility, every voice of jealousy, every voice from the pit of hell rising against my life and destiny, now I silence you. I condemn the voice. I release the speakings of the voice of the blood of Jesus to silence the voice of the adversary. As you dreamt a dream and you heard some people talking some things about you in the dream that is not correct, you wake up in the morning, you condemn it. You use your mouth. God is saying, I have made you a judge over the litigation situations of your life. When the voice is condemned, the speaker is condemned. The voicer is condemned. It's doomed. Number four. Understand your heritage of divine preservation. Understand that you are not an easily wastable material. Understand that you have an inheritance of divine preservation. Psalm 49 verse 12. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. Read verse 20. Psalm 49 verse 20. A man that God has positioned or given honor or given a privilege, who does not understand it, is like the beast that perish. People are wasted when they don't understand what is their own. When they don't understand their heritage in Christ. He said, the man that wandereth from the path of understanding shall abide in the congregation of the dead. That Proverbs 13, 15 or 16. He shall abide in the congregation of the dead. If the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Understand that you are not easily wastable. You are not vegetable. You can be wastable if you are vegetable. Understand your heritage. And finally, be committed to service. It is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Be committed to kingdom service. Serving in soul winning. Serving in soul winning. Serving in soul winning. Serving in the house. Serving with your resources. This is the heritage of servants. It's not the inheritance of everybody. It's not the heritage of churchgoers. It's not the heritage of amen shouters. It's not the heritage of bench warmers. It's the heritage of servants. Until your service is confirmed, your safety is not established. If it is to come from God. This is the heritage of servants. Heritage of servants. Beloved, what light have you seen from Isaiah 54, verse 4, all the way to verse 17? Number one, the only conspiracy or gang up that can succeed at you is the one that was originated by God. And if it is not by God, it's inconsequential. Number two, their rise against you is their crash in life. The only rise, the only rose to crash. Number three, God did not create or license the manufacturers of weapons to manufacture anyone against you. See, I'm the one who created them. I didn't. Creating a weapon to waste you is not part of the reason why I created them. And four, no weapon that can destroy you will ever be constructed. And the one formed and targeted at you is useless, powerless, and harmless. Number five, every voice of accusation or confrontation raised against you is doomed for condemnation. You do it. Number six, it is the inheritance of God's servants to be shielded and protected from the conspiracies, weapons, and tongue of the wicked. And number seven, it is not your righteousness that God will use to speak for you. In the face of enemy's confrontation, it is his own righteousness that the enemy cannot stand that God will use. So that by all means, no devil has any excuse to finish you before your time. Lift up your right hand and begin to thank him. Begin to thank him.
Lord, I do know, place my faith in my own.
It's my helpline in the world and my lifeline throughout all eternity.
Will you lift up your hands now and just begin to appreciate him for his word? Appreciate him for his word. Appreciate him for the blood of Jesus. The blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Appreciate him for his word. Appreciate him for his word. Appreciate him for the blood. The blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Appreciate him, honor him, adore him. Go ahead, pass the communion. Just hold it. You carry it, you hold it in your hands until I make declarations of them. Those of you in the front here, place your right hand on your chest. Pray this prayer with me. A minute. I believe there are still people in the crowd that needs to come out. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and come out. You want to rededicate yourself to God? You have lived a life you are not happy about, and you want to rededicate yourself to God. Carry your Bibles and bags and step forward quickly to rededicate and renew your life. Quickly, come forward.
Lord, I do not place my faith in my own.
Your right hand on your chest, lift the other hand up and say after me, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Say it louder. Forgive me my sin. Tonight, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Come into my life, Lord. Make me a new person. I receive the grace to live for you. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare that the hold of the enemy be broken and the grace to live for God be released upon you. In Jesus' precious name. I speak into this communion now. I say that by the power of the blood of Jesus, the revelations you receive tonight be transmitted into your system to produce transformation, to give you direction, and to give you preservation through the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. From this day forward, every gang up of hell against your life and destiny is rendered inconsequential. And unrepentant men and women who rise against you and your destiny, I declare they crash right now. Every weapon manufactured against you, backfire to send us. Backfire to send us. Backfire to send us. Every voice of accusation, confrontation, litigation, accusation, false accusation, every voice of slander, every voice of limitation, every voice of opposition, every voice from hell speaking against your destiny, held that lady there, speaking against your family, speaking against your fruitfulness, speaking against your marriage, speaking against your getting married, speaking against your financial resources, speaking against your health, speaking against your life and your preservation, I declare this voice is silenced. By the speaking voice of the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I decree that your inheritance as you serve God will become fully confirmed and established. I decree that the righteousness of God will rise in your defense. In the council of witches, in the assembly of the occult, in the in gatherings of ancestral and generational altars, where your matters will come up. I declare that the righteousness of God will rise up in your defense. The blood of Jesus will rise up in your defense.
In Jesus' name, every altar of your father's house,
or your mother's house, or your family house that is fighting your destiny, fighting your life, altars of premature death, they are nullified by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the speakings of the blood of Jesus, every spirit of backwardness, see yourself back in the village, back in secondary school, back somewhere, today it is canceled. Your giftings are released and your preservation is confirmed. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, shout the loudest amen.